It's time!
Hey, Dave, listen up, please.
Sometimes a warrior just has to kind of lay down on the ground for a minute, just stay there for a second and have a good bleed.
But what are you waiting for?
I don't know, something amazing.
Welcome into the basketball podcast of Mid America. That is a Scotty Bordelon original right there. He said that that name was the name of the basketball podcast last year.
And yeah, me and Blake did last year. We had fun.
So we're going to, you know, this is an offshoot of Whole Hog Sports. And so make sure to subscribe and you can get all of Scotty's good information about basketball all throughout the year on wholehogsports.com. But the offshoot of Whole Hog is the basketball podcast of Mid-America. And Scotty, although you may be a Division I coach, if you're Eric Musselman, you still get ultimatums from your wife. And sometimes they even come on your birthday.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, my wife walking out the door said, don't let them score more than 55.
Well, they didn't score more than 55, but they did allow more than 50, Scotty. It was an interesting showing, but I still think the defense is just something phenomenal for the Razorbacks to start the year.
Yeah, it's been much better than I think any of us expected, right?
Yeah.
And like we're kind of used to seeing these early season games where, and this is not a slight at Mike Anderson, but Arkansas has just not been completely with it on the defensive end in the past, I think, especially early on. And I will say that Arkansas has been tremendous, and the coaching staff should be applauded for this, and they are. They're getting this team so prepared for, like, even Texas Southern. And they, I mean, that I think they understood that the Texas Southern had some issues taking care of the ball. So obviously pressure on the perimeter was going to be really important. And, you know, you got to, and Musselman obviously very good friends with Johnny Jones. So he's obviously probably going to be really familiar with some of the players on Johnny Jones' roster. And defensively, I think we talked about it last week too. Arkansas, with its size disadvantage, has been tremendous with playing vertically on defense. And, you know, they're not blocking a ton of shots, even though they did. I think they blocked 10 against Texas Southern, which was pretty impressive. I think they had 6 in like the first 7 or 8 minutes of the game. And Adrio Bailey had 5 for like the second or third time in his career.
Adrio Bailey has become a block machine all
right.
of a sudden. How did that happen?
Yeah, I don't know. I think he's using his athleticism. He's playing with a lot of freedom while still, I think, holding on to some of the things that the coaches teach, like playing vertically, playing with your hands straight up. And they contest so many shots, and it's been really fun to watch. And, you know, Isaiah goes nuts in the second half against Texas Southern, but he also finishes with 5 steals. And he's the second player, I think, since like the 96-97 season, according to Hog Stats, with 30-plus and 5 steals in a game.
Jeez.
And the last player who did it was Mason Jones in the season opener. So these guys they're playing with really active hands. It's not just those two guys, too. Like, Desi Sills has been pretty solid defensively, even though he can't get a shot to fall right now. And then it was obviously pretty nice having Reggie Chaney back. He had 4 steals. Just his presence on the interior, I think, is going to be a big plus.
I think it was really good for Chaney to get out there this week, and then he'll get these two games, knock
the rust off a little bit before Georgia Tech,
and you know, kind of see the flow, the momentum. Musselman brought up a good point talking about Chaney in the post game after the Razorbacks win over Texas Southern. He said that, you know, he wanted Chaney to run up and down the court because they don't do a lot of that in practice, which I think is also talking just about the night and day difference between
Big
these two staffs.
Emphasis on half court,
yeah,
on offense and defense, sure.
The staffs are just going to be different this year, and that's one of the ways that they are going to be different is the preparation versus not running up and down the court, not being in the tip-top shape, because they aren't running up and down the court like they used to.
Yeah, for sure. I don't think they're playing nearly at the same pace that Arkansas fans are accustomed to, and I think that's going to take some time to get used to, quite honestly. Games are not quite as – like, Arkansas is probably not going to score 80, 85 points on a night-in, night-out basis, but, you know, if you can hold teams to, gosh, right around 50 points a game, I mean, that's pretty solid. But, yeah, going back to Reggie, I was really impressed with him, you know, when he first got into the game. I think his first touch was right around the right elbow area against Texas Southern zone. And he caught, faced up, probably understood that he didn't have that mid-range shot, but he put up a pump fake and then took one or two dribbles to his right, shot fake again, got a defender off his feet, and just calmly kissed a shot off the glass, which was really nice to see just right off the bat. I think he showed pretty good poise. He's going to be, you know, he's just going to keep getting better and better. And I think a big test comes on Friday against South Dakota. That's a team with some size, and he's going to be tested, you know, on the perimeter too, because they've got some guys with some height that will step out and shoot the three. I think they've got a 6'10 guy that's like 16 and 19 from three, something ridiculous like
Connor Vanover type.
Yeah, exactly. So I think his discipline in terms of perimeter defense is going to be tested. And then obviously they're going to try to attack Arkansas on the inside too when they can. So he's got a big challenge ahead of him in game two.
I thought Chaney did a good job of when Texas Southern, every once in a while, they would try and switch things up on the defensive end. They would try and go into a zone when they started the game in the zone. And then like two possessions in, they switched back to a man and they stay with a man for a while. And then when Chaney came in, which he came in the under 12 timeout with 11:08 left, you know, they kind of switched back to a zone. And I can't remember if it was Harris or one of the guards penetrated, and Chaney stayed in his low block position. They dished it to Chaney. Chaney has an easy dunk. Like that was where, you know, he can be a zone buster in a different way. You know, you normally think of a zone buster as a guy that stays outside the 3-point line like Isaiah Joe and, you know, is going to cause that defense to extend. But if a defense wants to play a zone against Arkansas, they are going to have to extend. Like that's just the bottom line, because you do have a Joe and then you do have Mason Jones. They can shoot the three ball really well. So when they extend, that leaves those lanes open for somebody to cut in and let Chaney finish it at the rim.
Yeah, and just like on his first touch that I mentioned, like I think he's pretty comfortable operating at that free throw line pinch post area. And he can I think he's comfortable enough where he'll pull that mid-range jumper every now and then. And then once he shows that he can do that, he can get defenders off their feet with a shot fake, and then he can attack the rim too. And maybe if he pump fakes, puts the ball on the floor and another defender comes to him, I think he's got the wherewithal to know that he's got shooters, you know, and you know, maybe if he attacks right, he's got somebody in the right corner. If he goes left, he's got somebody in the left corner, or he can kind of spin and look to maybe the top of the key for like a Mason Jones standing out there. I think that's a spot that he can really thrive right there. I want to see if he can knock down that mid-range shot. He was so-so at it last year. I think that's a spot that he can, you know, he can make an impact. And he's a pretty good passer for a 6'8 guy. He's not a black hole. Kind of, we talked about Daniel last year. He's not a black hole when he touches the ball near the rim. And I think Reggie's kind of the same way. He's not a selfish guy. He's not, you know, he's not automatically going to go up for a shot when he's near the rim. If a shot he's wanting to take might be contested, he's going to kick out to a shooter.
That's Scotty Borderline, Seth Campbell. We're here on the Whole Hog Podcast. Pardon me, not the Whole Hog Podcast. I got the football podcast in my mind. The basketball podcast of Mid-America. This is what happens when we have two sports going at right. once, Scotty. But that was a little bit on Chaney, who made his debut for the Razorbacks against Texas Southern. Let's see. I got his final stats here. Chaney played in 19 minutes, went 3-for-4 from the field for 6 points. That's not a bad start for Chaney. And that was on Chaney. We're going to move on, talk about, you know, some other guys. But before we even do that, Scotty, I mean, I think the defense deserves to be talked about for the Arkansas Razorbacks, how well they've played. Texas Southern was the first team to score more than 50 points, and they didn't get to 55, so Musk got to go home to his wife. What do you think, I guess is the best way to ask this, do you think that this Razorback team is the best defense since, I'll say, a Nolan Richardson team back when he was the coach?
I mean, that's a good question. I think, you know, Mike Anderson had some pretty good defensive teams. If I'm not mistaken, I might have to go back through KenPom history. I mean, Arkansas right now, and it's a adjusted defensive efficiency is 88.9 right now, which is pretty good. Mike Anderson had, I mean, most of his teams were allowing under 100 points per 100 possessions, which is pretty good. That the team that Mike had that went 27-9 and made the second round of the NCAA tournament,
where they got to play, you know, shocker, in North Carolina,
right back in 2015. That was one of his better defenses. And then a couple of years before that, he went 22-12, and you know, I think their defensive efficiency was 96.9, which is pretty good. I don't know that we can make those comparisons just yet, because let's be honest, like, Arkansas has not played anybody yet.
Right.
Like, Texas Southern might end up doing well in their league in the SWAC, but Texas Southern's not going to test Arkansas. Rice didn't test Arkansas. North Texas didn't either. Montana was pretty bad too. I mean, they 2 days later after they lost at Arkansas, they lost to Montana Tech for the first time since the late 40s.
Yeah, that's
so
not great.
Arkansas's competition hasn't been great. I'm going to be curious to see if Arkansas can keep this up, playing a team like South Dakota, who's also, you know, not a household name. Like, nobody's rushing to the television to watch South Dakota because they're not even on TV.
Right.
But Arkansas's next two games are going to be a challenge. And I think defensively, I think we'll start to see more if this team is for real defensively. Because like I said, South Dakota is going to bomb threes. They've got guys that can absolutely light it up from the perimeter. And then Georgia Tech, probably, you know, we saw them last year. They were not dynamic on offense. Like, they kind of made their way against Arkansas last year, second chance points. And then their point guard, I think Jose Alvarado, hit some really big shots in that game. Just going on the road and carrying that on the road, I think, is going to be a big test. So I'll take maybe a wait and see approach on that, and maybe see Arkansas play some stiffer competition first.
And that's a good approach. I mean, fans live in the here and now. And I mean, I live in the here and now, talking about, you know, it's Musselman's defense hasn't allowed over 50 points to these teams. And then, you know, TSU comes in and they still only allow 51. And, you know, you kind of, I don't necessarily buy into the hype, but it's recency bias on the highest level. And you don't think about these teams. So that's why I wanted to pose the question to you, Scotty, is this the best defense? Because sometimes we do forget about other teams that were here. You know, like you said, Mike Anderson had a team that only lost 9 games that year, was a 5 seed in the NCAA tournament. They played good defense. Now, they're known for Michael Qualls and Bobby Portis, but that team played good defense. And that's how they were able to win. And that's what Razorback fans were really expecting from kind of that point on with Anderson. That's what his teams were going to look like. You know, he has some up and downs and fluctuation, but that's what they wanted. And, you know, they ended up not getting it down the road. But through 4 games with Musselman, through 4 real games, 6 games overall, you know, you've seen that these guys, I mean, against Texas Southern, they forced 12 turnovers each half. Arkansas allowed an average of about 25 points each half. You know, KenPom has them as the best defensive team defending the 3. I think that this is a team that may not be the most talented that Musselman will have. Probably, I mean, I would say 99% won't be the most talented team that he has. But they've bought in. And to see a coach come in his first year, not make any excuses about the talent, that he didn't have the roster that he wanted to recruit, you know, he didn't get any of that, and just come in and say, this is how we're going to do things. If you buy in, you will see results. And to get the team, that's really what I've seen from Musselman and the staff, and that's why I believe Arkansas has played such good defense. That, and I mean, the preparation that these guys do helps a ton. I mean, Musselman said coming out of, was that the Texas Southern game? Or I think,
yeah,
it was when they,
yeah, it was Texas Southern.
They come in and he said, all right, we moved on to the next game already. We got the next team's lineup on the board.
Oh, yeah, that was after Montana.
Okay,
they had the Texas Southern lineup and depth chart and all that stuff.
Yes.
Up on the whiteboard.
It was already on the board. They come in, they said that they talked about the game that just happened for about 5 minutes and then moved on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Musselman will over prepare these guys. And I think that's how you're going to get the most out of a team that is not going to be the most talented night in and night out. That is how you're going to get the most out of these guys. And that's what Musselman is doing right now. And, you know, we have a quote, we have a soundbite here from Adrio Bailey and Mason Jones talking about the way that they prep for games.
Last year, we really didn't do scout. this year. Yeah. He takes scout probably harder than anything I've probably seen in my basketball career. Like,
that's why preparation is key. Like, the way we prep for games, if the only way we, man, it'd be hard to beat us. It'd be hard to beat us.
And you can see those guys, they're buying in to the preparation that Musselman is doing for them. And they believe that because of that prep, that's making them hard to beat.
For sure. And even after the Texas Southern game, those guys came in and they said 5 minutes after we got in the locker room and we ate cupcakes and sang happy birthday to Musselman, they were watching film of South Dakota, which is nuts. Like, I think that blew everybody in the press room away.
They were already had film on the next team before they came and talked to the media after the Texas Southern game.
Yeah. Yeah. It was pretty remarkable. And this team has been really, really good defensively, like you said, because they have bought in and the preparation has been stellar. Like, before the Mississippi State football game, I think there was an open practice, and I may have talked about this last week, but there's 10 white poster boards filled with information on Rice, their half-court sets, sideline out of bounds, baseline out of bounds. There were diagrams drawn up on those poster boards, and then there's one poster board on the far right that's just filled with information and tendencies on who the coaching staff believed was Rice's best player. Like, that preparation's that's pretty tough, man. Like, this, I don't mean this as a slight to Mike Anderson. I know a lot of people have heard those comments from Adriel and Mason and have made it seem like Mike Anderson's staff didn't do any preparation. Like, that's not accurate. Like,
correct.
They prepped for teams,
and
just not to this extent, like this thorough, analytical, all that stuff.
Yeah, we don't want to throw, like, we're not, our purpose here is not to throw the previous coach right underneath the bus. Like, this is just how these things have gone, and it would be remiss of us if we didn't talk about it.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And I figure we'll talk to Musselman later in the week about South Dakota, and I'm sure he's going to have, you know, some pretty insightful things to say about South Dakota, and he's probably got some things that, you know, up his sleeve that he's not going to share with everybody on how they plan to defend and defend South Dakota, maybe run them off the 3-point line, and then offensively how they're going to attack them. But even going back to like the Montana game, Saeed Pridgett is a guy that Eric Musselman was pretty familiar with. I believe Musselman knew him from his time at Nevada, right?
I think he tried to recruit him is what he said, right?
Right. I think that sounds right. But in preparation for that game, the coaching staff had the suspended Reggie Chaney portray Pridgett in practice, and anytime Chaney touched the ball, you know, in a half court situation, the siren went off, which is crazy. And they knew as soon as that siren went off and they saw that Chaney touched the ball, they shrunk the floor and just made him make a decision right then and there what he was going to do, whether he's going to shoot it or give the ball up. And it worked out. They had a goal to hold him to 13 points. They held him to 13 points, and he turned the ball over, I think, 6 or 7 times. So they were highly successful, you know, defending him and taking him out of the game.
Yeah, I think that with this preparation comes an alleviation of what some people might call the Arkansas curse or the curse of Arkansas, which is every single time Arkansas comes out on the field, it seems like somebody has a career day.
That's football, though.
It is football. No joke. It is football. But because
I've definitely seen that in the past in basketball, too.
I think the football team has put more people in the Heisman than the Heisman voters. But I think even on a basketball perspective, that, like you're saying, that has happened. I mean, Kevon Allen, it always seems to be former Arkansas guys. But, I mean, even not. Like, Kevon Allen, every single time he played Arkansas for 4 years, would have a career day.
He averaged, like, 4 or 5 more points per game against Arkansas than, like, anyone else. It was crazy.
I'm trying to think. Like, Reggie Perry was another kid that kind of came to mind, that he had a really good game against Arkansas last year when he played them.
Double last year.
So, I think this time of Arkansas, when teams play them and come in and having career days, now I'm not going to say that's going to completely eliminate these things, because kids can have days to where they just go off,
mm-hmm.
and you're trying to run triple teams at them, and for whatever reason,
good offense beats good defense.
But, yeah. But I think that there's going to be a lot less, and you saw that with the Pridgett. They said our goal is to hold him to 13 points. Boom. Held him to 13 points exactly. And it's the unique style of coaching that Musselman brings of he's tried to defend everybody. I mean, he was in the NBA. He was defending the elite scorers of the elite scorers in basketball. So he knows what kind of works, what kind of doesn't. Learn from that opportunity there that he's had and take that into college. I think that the preparation is going to be a huge key for Arkansas if they want to win games and they can alleviate that Arkansas curse, which will be very, very welcome for Razorback fans when they're watching a hardball. All right, let's move on now and let's talk about a guy that started his career at the University of Arkansas, left for a few years, and is going to end his career at the University of Arkansas, Jimmy Witt. Witt was brought in as a graduate transfer, and I think he's a vital part to this Arkansas offense. What do you think, Scotty?
Yeah, he's the head of the snake offensively, I think. He runs the show. Like, he initiates the offense more often than not. And he had, you know, I think he only scored 2 points against Rice. And I think there were some people wondering why he wasn't more aggressive. And he just kind of goes with the flow, like, and he doesn't force things. And he's just not going to force the issue. And I think that's what you want out of your point guard. And he shows great maturity at the point guard spot. And we've seen several times when Arkansas maybe gets a little bit hectic offensively or maybe a little bit sped up, and you'll see Jimmy just kind of pull the ball out, put a hand up, and be like, hey, let's reset. Let's get something working in the half court. And even when Arkansas sets aren't executed properly or they don't get the shot that they really want, I think we've seen Jimmy kind of freelance a little bit in a positive way. And I mean, he can work himself into that mid-range jumper better than anyone I've seen in a long time. And he's pretty effective with that shot. Like, that's his bread and butter. And it's interesting with Musselman, who's NBA guy, very analytical. Like, the NBA, you tend to, with the exception of a few guys in the league, they tend to stay away from the mid-range shot. It's typically just layups, free throws, attacking the rim, and three-point shots. And Jimmy's kind of the exception to that, because he is, I mean, that's been his bread and butter for a long time. That's what he was really good at SMU. He was pretty good at it his freshman year at Arkansas too. And through four games, I've got his shot chart. He's made 9 mid-range jumpers already through 4 games.
Do you know how many he shot?
I don't, right off the top of my head. I'd have to go back and look. I know I'd have to sit down and look. But
I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
No, you're good. I should. Preparation, man. I could learn something from Mus. But he's made 9 through 4 games, and he's also got a shot that was maybe a couple of feet off the right block, which I guess you could call it that. It was a jump shot from him. But he's been really good. And like the last 3 games, he's been in double figures. He's averaging like 13, 14 points the last 3 games. Had a double-double against Texas Southern. And Mus has talked about more than once that Jimmy's arguably one of the best rebounding point guards in the country. And we're seeing that almost night in and night out.
And Mus needed somebody like that because they are so small. He needs the best rebounding guard in the country in order to kind of offset that, which they did to the most part. They were out rebounded 39 to 36, which against a Texas Southern team, you know, you don't want to be out rebounded, but that's going to happen. Like, Arkansas is going to be out rebounded in most games.
And I was walking out of Bud Walton Arena last night, and I walked out with Dudley, and we were going through the interview room, and Musselman had the, you know, he brings in a stat sheet, and he makes little notes on the stat sheet, and he left it at the table last night. So I was walking out, I grabbed it.
Mm-hmm.
And he circled Texas Southern's total rebounds and Arkansas's total rebounds. And then down at the bottom, -3 rebounding margin equals not a factor. So, I mean, I think he was okay with the way Arkansas rebounded. Maybe, you know, I think Texas Southern had 12 offensive rebounds, which is not great, but Arkansas got good rebounding production, especially defensive rebounds from his point guards. And I think Jimmy had eight defensive rebounds out of his 10. And I think Jalen Harris ended up with 5 rebounds. So 15 boards from your point guards is a pretty solid night.
Yeah, and the thing that Jimmy does that is astounding and it's so needed, I believe, in this offense is we talk about prep and we talk about how they want to get the ball into good shooters' hands and Isaiah and Mason, and they will run plays for those guys. But, you know, Musselman says that when they get it to Jimmy, like it's all Jimmy. Some of the times they really don't run plays for him.
We don't really run plays for Jimmy. You know, I mean, we'll run some post-up plays, 2 or 3 a game, but he's just kind of backing his man down and kind of elevating and shooting over the guy at that 8 to 12, 13-foot range. And we need him to score easy baskets for us because he shoots such a high percentage.
And he said it there. He shoots such a high percentage. And that's that shot you were talking about that isn't necessarily used in the NBA because – most of the time, guys will shoot that shot the same percentage as they'll shoot a 3. And why would you take the 2 points over the 3 points? But that's Jimmy's bread and butter. And when plays break down, you know, he is the calm head that says, all right, I'm kind of the last resort here, but I'm going to get this ball into the lane. I'm going to shoot my shot. And he can make it more times than not.
Yeah, he's not the quickest guy either, but he's so long. Like, he can get to his spots. You know, he can beat his defender to the spot, and then all of a sudden, you know, he's going left off the bounce, and all of a sudden he rises up for a mid-range shot, and it's uncontested just because of the suddenness. And just he can elevate, like Mus said, pretty quickly. And he's, you know, he's probably taller than most of the guys that are defending him. So that it works out to an advantage for him. And we've heard Mus talk, too, a couple of times. It's about they do run some of those post-ups for Jimmy because, you know, he can back down a guy even though he's pretty slender. Mm-hmm. But he's got a height advantage over most guys. And, you know, if all the attention comes to him, you know, he can kick out to the perimeter for an open three. I remember that happened. I think it was in the first game of the year when Jalen Harris knocked down his first three of the season. I think it was off a Jimmy Witt post up. Just, and it's kind of, Mus has talked about it, it's kind of similar to Jason Kidd. I think Jason Kidd was a guy that could maybe knock down that mid-range shot, maybe a leaner. But he's also surveying the floor at the same time, and kind of buying himself some time with the dribble, you know, to see if he could get a shot right, raise up and shoot over a defender, or, you know, if all that attention comes to him, he can pitch out to the perimeter to open shooters.
Yeah, that's a really good point there and good analysis from you, Scotty. All right, before I ask you a question and we kind of preview the South Dakota game a little bit, I want to play a little bit of a game with you, all right? Mm-hmm. This is going to be a true false game, but I don't know if you ever had to do these. I hated these true false tests, but when.
Yeah, so put it on me. That's cool.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I'm giving it to you. If you say false, you have to put in the right answer. So whenever I was in grade school, this would always come up that I would always pray for true because that way I didn't have to know the right answer. So this is only going to be one question. We might bring this game back later on in the year, but Arkansas plays 3 teams in non-conference that are in the Power 5, Georgia Tech, Indiana, and then in the SEC Big 12 showdown, they'll play TCU. Mm-hmm. TCU games at home, Indiana's on the road, Georgia Tech is on the road. Out of those 3 teams, true or false, Arkansas wins 2 of those 3 games.
I'm going to say false. I think just playing your first road game and it being against probably the best team that you've played this year gives me a little bit of pause. And then Indiana's got some guys back from last year's team, which, you know, made a run in the NIT. And I watched a little bit of their game last week. I forget who it was against. But Indiana gave up almost 40 points in the first half. Their attention to detail on defense wasn't sharp there, but I think Arkansas is catching Indiana kind of at a bad time because it's right at the end of December. You've got almost 2 full months to kind of get your feet under you,
mm-hmm.
You know, kind of assign roles, kind of gel together a little bit. And plus, I mean, that's a road game too. So I think Arkansas will probably drop those two games if I had to say right now. But I think Arkansas will beat TCU at home in January. I don't know just a whole lot about TCU, but I mean, I figure if I had heard just a whole lot about TCU, then that would probably be a good thing for them.
Yeah, 2 years ago, they were a pretty good team in the Big 12, I believe. They might have won their Big 12 tournament.
Yeah, right now TCU is ranked 44th on KenPom, and they just came off a 10-point or an 11-point win over Air Force. So, I mean, not just anything that jumps off the screen right now. You know, but they are, you know, according to KenPom, they're 11th in the country, forcing turnovers at 28.2%.
Which has been Arkansas's
Arkansas's Achilles heel to this point. So we'll see. There's a long way to go before TCU, and Arkansas can change in a lot of ways, and TCU can change in a lot of ways before then. But I figure Arkansas's got a pretty good chance to win that one. KenPom's only given TCU a 32% chance to win that one at this moment.
All right, well, that's our true-false segment. And all right, let's move on. Let's talk about a little bit about South Dakota. This should be a great game. This should be a game that fans want to come out to on a Friday. And South Dakota doesn't have the brand recognition. We're going to be honest. Of any team in the SEC, you know, you're not going to say, oh, sweet, we get to go play South Dakota.
Yeah, unless you're a Summit League lifer, which who is in this part of the country.
Right. South Dakota, are they the Jackrabbits? Did I make that up?
They are the Coyotes.
The Coyotes.
I think you're thinking of what mascot did you say?
The Jackrabbits.
Jackrabbits. Is that South Dakota State? South Dakota State. I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. They had like Mike Dom a few years ago.
Okay.
I think, and a boy could hoop.
Yes. So South Dakota, the Coyotes, that's an appropriate name. They're coming into Bud Walton Arena, but they can shoot the three ball. KenPom has them as the best three-point shooting team in the country. And KenPom has Arkansas now as the best three-point defensive team in the country. This is going to be a good game. This is going to be a litmus test of sorts for the Razorbacks and their defense to see how it's going to compare when they have to play Power 5 teams. If you've been complaining about the schedule and how they're not playing teams, this is the opportunity for you to go out to Bud Walton Arena and to really see these guys play. I mean, exactly. They're not Duke. They don't have the brand recognition of a Duke or North Carolina, but this is going to be a solid team that has a legitimate shot at winning their league and going to play in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, they'll be the best team Arkansas's played to this point by far, I think. I mean, they're the only team, according to KenPom rankings, inside the top 150 that Arkansas's played to this point. And let me see, go to their page. They've not played just a whole lot of anybody either. Like they won on the road at Hawaii, which congratulations, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, congratulations, you got to go to Hawaii.
Yeah, I guess so. But they beat Texas Southern pretty handily too, I think by 19, and beat SIU Edwardsville on Monday. But they've got, you know, just looking at their page, man, their KenPom page, they've got a 5'11 guard who's shooting 40% from three. They got another 6'2 guard who's shooting, according to this, 10 out of 16, which is almost 63%. And then Tyler Hegdorn is their 6'10", 230-pound senior forward. He's 16 of 19.
Oh.
So take that for what you will. Arkansas's got its work cut out for it in terms of defending the three, because that's obviously been one of the real bright spots through the first four games for Arkansas. But I don't know that Arkansas's played a team that's really a juggernaut shooting the three. I mean, I couldn't tell you who the top three-point shooter is that Arkansas's played to this point. Like, and I don't imagine South Dakota will be like many of the first four teams Arkansas's played. Like, some of the teams we've seen so far have just, like, airballed open threes, bricked open threes, like, just not gotten anything to fall. I don't think that'll be South Dakota. Like, I think Arkansas will have a good plan for them, but I would imagine South Dakota, just as well as they're shooting the ball to start the season, will probably knock a few threes down and maybe make things interesting. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, Musselman had a comment on how South Dakota plays in their three-point shooting ability.
You know, they're the number one three-point shooting team in the nation right now. So We're going to have to really defend and come up with some type of game plan that's a little bit different defensively than what we've done these first few games.
I think that part excites me the most about the possibility of this game is him saying that you are going to have to come up with a different game plan and to see how well this team executes that game plan, because that'll kind of show you the versatility of this Musselman coach team if they can really compete with the topper tier in the SEC.
I think that was also Musk saying that the first four teams that we played can't shoot right. Without saying that they can't shoot, and South Dakota can. That was, I think, a roundabout way of saying that. He was pretty nice to them right there.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Scotty, anything else you'd like to add before we say goodbye?
I don't think so. Just read Whole Hog Sports.
Yeah, there you go. That is the plug that we needed.
Tell your friends about the podcast.
That is the plug that we needed. And yeah, tell your friends about the podcast. You can subscribe. You can like. This is a part of Whole Hog Radio, and Whole Hog Radio is going to be bringing you all kinds of stuff. You know, football season is winding down, but that does not mean we're going away. We're going to move right into recruiting season. We'll move right into baseball season and basketball season. We're going to talk about it all here on Whole Hog Radio and right here on the Basketball Podcast of Mid-America. Scotty and I will be joining you and breaking down games and, you know, giving you some information about the Razorbacks and their basketball team. And we're off to a good start so far. 4-0 under the Mus bus, and we'll see if the bus keeps rolling. For Scotty Bordelon, I'm Seth Campbell saying so long, and we will see you next time.